Hey everyone, welcome to our second podcast. Today we'll be talking about the nervous, endocrine, and skeletal system, how it affects congestive heart failure. The sympathetic nervous system, which is also called SNS for short, plays an important role with the regulation of the cardiovascular system. Both in healthy tissue and disease, the SNS can help support and aid in cardiac function when cardiac performance declines, particularly immediately following a myocardial failure. In a 2009 article, the Journal of American College Cardiology writes that the SNS has a wide variety of cardiovascular actions, including heart failure, acceleration, and increase in cardiac contractility, reduction of venous capacitance and constriction of resistance vessels, while the parasympathetic nervous system affects the cardiovascular system by slowing heart rate through vagal impulses. The effects of the SNS following heart failure can be both helpful and harmful. Increasing activity of SNS immediately following a cardiac event plays an important role in aiding homeostasis. Wilson Colucci states that sympathetic activity increases cardiac output by increased heart rate, contractility, and venous return. When SNS activity is excessive, it can cause harmful effects. Increases in salt and water retention can create increases in diastolic and systolic wall stresses, in turn creates higher demand of oxygen and energy requirements. In a 2012 Journal of Cardiology, Kishi states that the mechanisms by which autonomic nervous system dysfunction occurs in heart failure have not been fully determined. The muscular system is an organ system consisting of skeletal, smooth, and cardiac muscles. It permits movement of the body, maintains posture, and circulates blood throughout the body. The muscular systems and vertebrates are controlled through the nervous system, although some muscles can be completely autonomous. The heart has an important significance for the endocrine metabolism of the pituitary hormones, growth hormones, and ACTH. Hormones are also most important for the heart. The thyroid gland and its dysfunction have been often studied and is the most common endocrine disorder that affects proper function of cardiovascular patients. Diabetes mellitus and the associated metabolic syndromes are a major cause of cardiovascular diseases and significantly play a role in the patient's morbidity and mortality. It is well established that hyperthyroidism induces a hyperdynamic cardiovascular state, which is high cardiac output with low systemic vascular resistance, which is associated with a faster heart rate, which is something like AFib, and enhanced left ventricle systolic and diastolic function, and increased prevalence of supraventricular tachyarrhythmias. So tachycardia is what makes the heart beat faster than what it should, namely atrial fibrillation, whereas overt hypothyroidism is characterized by the opposite changes. Tachyarrhythmia and Barnes suggest that all patients presenting with coronary artery disease or cardiac arrhythmias should undergo screening with sensitive thyroid stimulating hormone assay and appropriate treatment when necessary. Found only in the heart is the cardiac muscle. It's responsible for pumping blood throughout the body. The human heart is able to pump more than 2,500 gallons of blood per day. Osteoporosis and cardiovascular disease are considered age-related conditions. There's an increase in number of studies which show a link between the two systems. Several have been proposed to explain the link between osteoporosis and CVD, including 1. Shared risk factors, 2. Common pathophysiological mechanisms and common genetic factors. Shared risk factors include smoking, alcohol use, sedentary lifestyle, menopause, and hypertension. Low bone mineral density and bone loss appears to be risk factor in cardiovascular mortality in both men and women. Calcification within the aorta and arteries was found to be negatively correlated with bone density and directly related to vertebral and hip fractures, mostly in postmenopausal Caucasian women. The review used to generate this podcast stated that some of the epidemiologic studies included in meta-analysis did have several limitations, that some reports did not sufficiently control for important covariates, including physical activity, lipids, blood pressure, and the use of medications such as statins. Skeletal muscle is the only voluntary muscle tissue in the human body. When you're speaking, walking, or even writing, it requires the skeletal muscle. The function of skeletal muscle is to contract to move parts of the body closer to the bone that the muscle is attached to. Now, most of your skeletal muscles are attached to bones across the joint. Also, 30 to 40% of a healthy person's body mass is made up of skeletal muscle. For your skeletal muscles to work, you have to think about it and put these muscles to work. So these muscles work for your bones to give you the strength that you need. Smooth muscle determines the flow of blood in the arteries. It moves food throughout the digestive tract. The smooth muscle in the uterus helps a woman to push out her baby in the bladder. And the bladder smooth muscle helps to push out urine and hold your urine. The smooth muscle is located in the walls of the blood vessels, as well as in the structure of the bladder, intestines, and the stomach. When you're digesting food, this muscle helps you push the food through your body, as well as pushing the food back up when you're sick. When you stay in focus, it is a smooth muscle working behind your eyes. All right, thanks for listening. This is all that we have. If you have any questions, you can send us a message and we can answer your questions about the nervous endocrine and skeletal system based on congestive heart failure. Thanks for listening.